More than 500,000 Wisconsinites, about 10% of the state's residents, live in what's called a food desert with little or no access to fresh, healthy, and affordable food. One USDA measurement says most of Milwaukee is considered a food desert, but it's not just a story about cities. Some of the state's most rural counties also have little or no access to local grocery stores. High poverty neighborhoods are more likely to be food deserts, which is connected to existing health inequalities. Food deserts can be associated with higher rates of obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. We're taking a look now at food deserts in Wisconsin, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Is it hard for you or maybe people in your neighborhood, especially if they can't drive for one reason or another, to get to the food that you want, that you need? Have you seen a solution in your area to that problem, or do you still need one? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Lauren Azu is a deputy senior content editor now at the Chicago Tribune. She reported for the series Beyond Hunger for Wisconsin Watch. Lauren, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, as part of your reporting, you spent time with people living in these food deserts and reporting on what this means to them. What does this mean for them? What does a food desert look like from the perspective of people living in them?
You know, it just makes day-to-day life harder. Like, imagine having to drive a half hour to just get to the grocery store. Grocery shopping is already such a hassle on top of trying, you know, it being more difficult to go or you having to make a special effort because there are no grocery stores close to where you live. It just really worsens the quality of life for people living in Wisconsin and definitely has a huge outcome on these health disparities that you just mentioned.
This series you reported on looked at kind of both ends of the spectrum, urban areas in Wisconsin and rural areas. Let's start with the cities you looked at. Give us a sense of what neighborhoods, what communities are affected by food deserts.
Yeah, so I spent some time in a community in South Madison that went without a grocery store for at least 8 years. And so that was in Madison. And then I went to a senior facility in Milwaukee that was also in an identified food desert. And then I interviewed somebody in Florence County, Wisconsin, that also went without a grocery store for at least a few years. So all these cities are on opposite ends of the state, but they had the same problem, which is they went a while without a grocery store. People living there definitely struggled day to day to, you know, grocery shop and get the food they needed.
Can you talk about the way grocery stores work, the grocery business works, that makes it, you know, not necessarily likely that a grocery store is going to want to set up shop in the neighborhoods you reported on?
Yeah, definitely. So grocery stores, they already operate on such thin margins, and they really have to go where they picture them having a successful business and, you know, being able to work within those margins. And so there's not really much incentive for a grocery retailer to, let's say, set up shop where in a rural area, let's say, where there's not as many people compared to an urban area, or a low-income area where there's not as many people with a disposable income that can really shop and do the heavy bulk shopping like in suburban areas. But the problem is we all need food to live. So just because they're making these business decisions, it doesn't mean that they don't have an outcome. They do.
Before we get to some possible solutions, what do we know about the health impacts on people who don't have, you know, local access to healthy food?
Yeah, so we definitely looked at a lot of different studies that were saying the same things. According to the 2019 Milwaukee Fresh Food Access Report, we found that distance from supermarkets correlates with higher rates of obesity, heart disease, diabetes, and it really, really shows. And yeah,
We're talking to Lauren Azu now with the Chicago Tribune. She reported on a series called Beyond Hunger for Wisconsin Watch, looking at food deserts around the state. Big cities, some of the smallest, lowest populated counties, too, in the state. It's happening in both kinds of places. Let's look at some solutions that people have out there. Lauren, you mentioned South Madison, and you talked to the owner of Luna Grocery in Madison, who was able to open her store in one of these food deserts with some grant money. Can you share that story?
Yeah, so I talked to Miriam Maldonado. She's the owner of Luna's Groceries, and she opened Luna's about 2 years ago in South Madison after the community there had been without a grocery store for almost a decade. And the community is the Allied Drive Dunn's Marsh neighborhood. And it has a high Hispanic, Black community there. And she's really seeking to serve those communities in South Madison and by providing food that really people are used to eating, that reminds them of where they came. It's a heavily immigrant population. And so it's really serving a unique market, a unique community, but also really serving a need in that community so people don't have to struggle to get to the grocery store.
And another solution people have offered that might work for some communities, the idea of mobile markets. How do those work?
Yeah, so I spent some time with a Hunger Task Force / Piggly Wiggly mobile market in Milwaukee. And this is a mobile market that visits public housing communities, senior residences, and other community centers in Milwaukee to really serve communities that have been identified with struggling the most with having access to food, specifically low-income seniors who may not be able to drive anymore, may not have as much disposable income, and they offer a discount on fresh, healthy produce that is really helping with health outcomes that we've mentioned. And they visit different community centers across the city each week. They have a schedule posted online, and they have a good following. About 2 dozen people show up each time. It really, really serves these people. We spoke with one woman who says it really helps her manage her health better and just get the things she needs so she doesn't have to pay people, for example, to take her to the grocery store.
Lauren, thanks for sharing your reporting with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Lauren Azu, Deputy Senior Content Editor. Now at the Chicago Tribune, she talked to us about reporting she did for the Wisconsin Watch series Beyond Hunger, looking at food deserts in the state, possible solutions. Coming up, we'll look at wider issues related to food insecurity in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have experienced this, or maybe your family members have, or you work on solutions in your part of the state, 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up that conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. We just heard about food deserts in Wisconsin. Now we look more broadly at food insecurity in the state when people can't rely on consistently getting adequate, nutritious, and affordable food. Stephanie Young-Dorfman is Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin, the State Association of Feeding America Food Banks. Stephanie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
Let's start off with the connection, if any, between these food deserts and the wider food insecurity problems we see in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. So food insecurity is the lack of consistent access to enough food. And oftentimes that's tied to having enough money to access food. But issues such as access and barriers such as transportation, having the time it takes to secure food for a household, those are definitely things that can exacerbate food insecurity. So we see there's definitely an overlap. And beyond food insecurity, our network of food banks is working further to improve food nutrition security. So providing equitable access to nutrient-dense and culturally meaningful foods. So we know that food deserts also create a challenge of accessing the right food for folks and their families, culturally meaningful foods, dietary needs, dietary specific foods, and things like that. So it takes away the choice and the opportunity and dignity to find the food that folks might need for their families.
That's an interesting distinction. If we just measured by calories, we might say, yes, we have access to enough caloric intake from day to day. But what are those calories? Are they nutritious foods? Are they contributing to health? Do we need more focus on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And our network has made that shift and nutritious foods, but culturally meaningful foods. We know that, in the history of food banks, we've often relied on commodities, pretty generic foods, donated foods that haven't always met the cultural needs and the medical needs of families. So it really does matter to have nutritious, healthy foods. And in Wisconsin, we're lucky enough to have a lot of local healthy foods available to us.
Can you give us a sense of the state of food insecurity in Wisconsin? How widespread is it?
Yeah, so currently, based on Feeding America's Map the Meal Gap, about 1 in 14 individuals, Wisconsinites, are experiencing food insecurity. And we know that looks a little different across the map. Folks experience food insecurity at disproportionate rates. Place and race matter. So a family, a white household, 1 in 20 white Wisconsinites experience food insecurity, whereas a 1 in 4 Black or Latino Wisconsinites experience food insecurity. So, you know, this looks different across the state, but it's certainly a prevalent issue.
Let's talk about kids in particular. Obviously, food insecurity important to everybody, but developing children maybe more so than anyone. How many kids in the state do we know are subject to food insecurity?
Yeah, it's about 12%, so a higher rate. 1 in 8 children in the state of Wisconsin experience food insecurity.
What kind of efforts are you doing at Feeding America food banks around the state to try to address this problem, apart from obviously providing food itself?
Yeah, so we've, you know, through the pandemic, there has certainly been a higher demand for food. So we have continued to fill the gaps, you know, food deserts being one of them, by supporting food pantries, meal sites, residential shelters. Many of our food banks increase the number of mobile pantries. Those are, you know, food bank trucks going out to communities that don't have brick and mortar food pantries, or maybe those brick and mortar food pantries were closed during the pandemic because of lack of volunteers or safety concerns. Our food banks are, you know, also engaged in SNAP outreach. When we think about food deserts, some of the challenges that exist in communities when new retailers pop up is how do we keep those retailers in those spaces? So ensuring folks have the purchasing power to keep those businesses in place is really important. So robust government programs like SNAP or the Food Share Program, as it's known in Wisconsin, are really important to make sure that folks have the funds to purchase from mainstream retailers. Our food banks have dove into many other innovative programs to reach specific communities. During the pandemic, the last 2 years, we just launched a tribal elder food box where we're purchasing from native and tribal producers and getting aggregating that product, repacking it, and getting it to tribal elders at all 11 federally recognized tribal communities across the state. And that's been a way to touch on, you know, both the challenge of accessing food, but the challenge of access, and also the challenge of accessing nutritious, traditional, and food that is grown specifically for those folks. So those are some examples.
And that reminds me, before we wrap up, I understand you have a lot of outreach and partnerships with farmers in Wisconsin to try to get produce from the farms to the people in need.
Yes. Very grateful to live in such a great agricultural state. And over these past years, as we've seen some supply chain disruptions, we've really worked closely with local producers to source, to purchase at market prices, the food that other Wisconsinites experiencing food insecurity really would like to be eating. So that's, yeah, been a great opportunity for us to deepen those relationships.
Stephanie, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Stephanie Young-Dorfman, Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin, the State Association of Feeding America Food Banks. She talked to us about food insecurity here in the state. Coming up on Food Friday, a related topic, a chef helps us avoid food waste so we're not throwing out any potentially delicious ingredients in our own kitchens. First is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Ellen Clark joins me from our Green Bay studio. Our goal in this drive is to make sure you keep getting your favorite programs like Central Time.
That is exactly right. And your gift of any amount is so very important because your support provides the largest piece of funding here at WPR. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Off to a good start this hour. Mm-hmm. A little over a half hour to go now. Looking for 14 more people to join in. Thank you so much if you've already given on this first day of the drive.
And if you haven't, now is the exact right time to help us meet that goal at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
In that last conversation, we learned about food deserts and food insecurity in Wisconsin. And as we heard, this isn't just a big city problem. It's not just a small town or rural problem. It is there and all points in between. It's an example of the important and informative conversations you can count on here on the Ideas Network.
Something we all need to hear, important information for all of us to get out here in the community. WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that's right for you and then make your gift.
You listen to WPR month after month, year after year. Now give the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. You'll make ongoing contributions of you choose, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you want it to go.
Then you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you're always supporting the programs you love. Don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Big election day coming up in November. Races for governor, U.S. Senate, U.S. House, and local representatives as well.
And Wisconsin Public Radio follows the candidates and the issues, giving you the analysis you need to stay informed. This kind of balanced election coverage is where you can find us every day on the air and online. It's only possible with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. That's a great value, less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
And a dollar a day comes out to $30 a month. And then you set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge it to your credit card. You just make your gift right now in any amount that's right for you to set that up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hoping to hear from a lot of you on this, the first day of our fall membership drive. And when you support Wisconsin Public Radio, you can ask for your limited edition WPR enamel pin. This pin. This pin features a radio tower design. It's yours with a gift of any amount right now, today only, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Get them today while supplies last.
And we need 14 more people to join in to meet that goal. WPR is listener powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
Arlene in Stoughton has given. Arlene says, WPR has gotten me through some very difficult times. Thank you. Arlene says, thank you. And Joseph from Madison says, I've been a listener and a supporter for years. It's a habit I don't want to break. Well, how about you? If you haven't given before, start that habit. It's a great habit to have. You have a habit of listening. Now make one of giving with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We really can't do it without you. You've been such a great part of our success over the years. Let's keep it going far into the future with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.